broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everyone, to the Refresh Your Wealth podcast with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. This is Matt Sorensen, the sexy voice amongst the two. Also, if you're on video, you know I'm the good-looking one between the two already. But welcome, everyone. Mark's just going to stay there silent, which is okay. What could he come back with? Could he argue that?
I have nothing to say.
Just an argument. All right.
Yeah. I'm just beat up right now. It's like this July 15th deadline, COVID, PPP. If I have another a tax issue put on my back, I'm going to fall over. But why we're here for you, people. We're taking the brunt. We're taking it for you and then just spitting out only the stuff you need to know.
Yep. Which is what we're doing today. And that's what the Refresh Wealth podcast is, of course, all about, better helping you live the American dream. And today, though, is a topic of my choice because, you know, I love retirement accounts. So I don't think there's anybody that would at least knows the show that wouldn't guess this was my choice. But we want to talk about some of the ways you can unlock your retirement account dollars in 2020. There are like five huge retirement account changes that happened in 2020. And a number of them, every one of them is in the account owner's favor. So we want to talk about how you can take advantage of them. Some of them are temporary for 2020. Some of them are going to carry on. So we want to hit those to make sure you're aware of them, what's changed in retirement accounts, and what can I maybe use in 2020 to benefit me? Like maybe getting money out of a employer 401k so I can self-direct it. That can be a strategy under these rules in 2020. Yeah. So we'll hit that topic. That's the main course, so to speak, for today's
podcast.
Yeah. I was trying to make a play on words with like eating food. Today's buffet.
Today's smorgasbord. Yeah. I want to just give a quick disclaimer for all of you that are like, I don't make enough money to save for retirement. I hate this topic, or I'm going to just invest in real estate, not a retirement account, or I've got an annuity. My mom left me or my grandma, whatever. Please do not have that dismissive attitude that this is not for you. A well-designed plan for your future includes a little of everything. It's a well-balanced attack against the future. I mean, when I wrote my first book, I used the Lord of the Rings as my kind of inspiration, and a battlefield and a castle and asset protection and building walls and moats and all this. And if you had a castle 500 years ago and you were trying to protect yourself and deal with the future, would you just build a moat? Would you just have a catapult? Would you just have, I mean, you would have multiple approaches. Maybe some of them aren't your favorite. But you want to have a really...
I would just have a wizard. Just get a wizard. Duh.
A tapped wizard. Yeah, just...
Maybe a witch. Maybe like... But like a witch that's a good... You know, one of the good ones.
Yeah. I like it. Like, what was that? The Oracle. You need an Oracle. That was in... not Gladiator, but Russell Crowe. Oh, that was... No, that wasn't... That was Spartans. Anyway, so here's the thing. As I teach college students and teenagers, just yesterday, I took my nephew, who's 14 years old, down to the bank. And while we sat at the bank, we opened his checking account, got him a debit card, set him up on Acorns to start saving every week, and Venmo, so that when he works for me and other people doing odd jobs, they can pay him on Venmo. It was like this, he was like, whoa, you know, like I can do all this at age 14. And he's got a single mom. She was really grateful. And it's like, we need to pass this heritage on to people and kids and everybody. And and so the point is, what I'm trying to get at is, even if you're only saving $100 a week or $100 a month in a Roth savings account, get in the habit. So when we talk about this, you're like, all right, may not be my number one game plan this year, but I may need it 3 years from now. So
You know, and I always say, it's like every account owner of mine, my largest clients have the biggest accounts, you know, they got 10 million plus accounts, 100 million plus accounts. It blows your mind, but they all started at zero. Everybody forgets that. They were all at one point thinking, man, I'm at zero. I've got nothing. And you have to get over that hurdle. It's kind of like people who don't like to go to the gym because they're not in shape yet. All right. Well, you've got to start going on a regular basis. You know, you don't walk in the first day looking like Arnold. Okay. Yeah. You gotta go there for like 10 years, you know, or what to do the things that people do to get there. So, so good point. But many of you have it. Let's be honest. There's $30 trillion in retirement accounts out there. This is where most people have saved over their lifetime, where most people have investable funds. And it's the number one account people can tap. Fidelity reported over 3 million people have already taken these COVID-19 distributions we'll talk about today, which is a huge number of people. And so we'll get into that. We'll get into some of the strategies that you can use to help survive or to make some strategic plans and maybe some business moves or investments using your retirement account funds in 2020.
I like it. Okay. Now, for those that are new, this is that special time of the show where we do a general tax and legal tip unrelated to today's topic to hopefully leave some of you with at least some strategy or idea or concept that you can apply in your personal life for business growth, tax savings, asset protection, estate planning. That's what we do. We're lovers, not fighters. We're planning. So Matt, should I go with the tax tip or do you want to do the legal tip first?
Why don't you go with the tax tip?
All right, let's do it.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
All right, my tax tip is something that's evolved that, frankly, I want to trademark it. We are going to own this title. The backdoor Roth IRA is that concept, and that term has probably been around at least 5 to 10 years. And it's getting more and more popular. The backdoor 401k is something we've talked about many times with clients in a unique way to get money into a 401k through rental real estate. Because you may say, well, all I'm doing is living on rental income. I can't contribute to a 401k, but I'd like to. And so we kind of generate or manufacture ordinary income to get into a 401k, even if there's rental property. Well, to the third backdoor strategy today, and Matt, keep your mind clean. Do not.
Let's keep it in retirement accounts, please.
Yeah, keep this PG. Is the backdoor Coverdell. Now, this years ago, just a few years ago, was called the Educational IRA. Then they changed it to the Coverdell, as in cover your head, Dell computer. So all one word, Coverdell. Coverdell ESA, Educational Savings Account. Now, I don't know why they changed the name, because it's really an IRA built for college savings, but they wanted to call it a Coverdell ESA rather than an Educational IRA. Same thing, same rules. Okay. Now, here's why I'm calling it a backdoor college IRA. And by the way, even before you get it, so you're excited to hear about this strategy. What's cool about the Coverdell or the backdoor IRA or the educational IRA is you can self-direct it. You could make it a partner in many of your different investment strategies. And now you're getting a greater rate of return in a tax-free growth college savings account that comes out tax-free. And they're very, very flexible. Now, Wall Streeters of America will poo-poo these because you can only put $2,000 into them a year for a beneficiary. And they go, you can't do much with that. And they don't want to fiddle around with that. Your stockbrokers want $200,000 or $2 million. They don't want to deal with $2,000. But for us on Main Street America, oh, we can work magic with these. And this is where Matt Sorensen, the wizard, use that word, the wizard of self-directing IRAs, we've got clients with $50 million, $100 million, $10 million, $1 million IRAs that they built from a simple $6,000 starting point. I know that sounds crazy, but you can do it. And you can do it with these Coverdell IRAs and pay for your kids' college education, your grandkids' education, and their kids' education in these Coverdells. They're absolutely amazing. All right, Matt, do you think I've got everybody's attention finally?
Yeah. And I'll just, you know, we've seen some clients. I had a client wholesale a property with one that put a couple thousand down from a Coverdell, made over a $50,000 profit, went right out to his kids' college. It's pretty cool. So that's just, you know, that's just a perfect example. Made all that money totally tax-free, went to pay for his kids' college, who goes to a very expensive school. but that's the efficient way to do it, man.
Yep. Okay. Now, why do I call it a backdoor? Because the government says, if you make too much money, you don't need this. And frankly, their level of deciding rich hits middle income America, I think, and at least the top 20%ers. This is not a 1% problem. This is some of you are already impacted by this. So I'm just going to use Matt Sorensen as an example. If Matt wants to give his cute little daughter, Addie, like a $2,000 educational IRA, if Matt's single, his limit of income in order to participate in this strategy is $110,000 of adjusted gross income last year. So if he made too much money, he can't contribute. If Matt's married, the limit is $220,000 on a joint return. And when you have two working parents or a professional in the family, or you're doing some entrepreneurship where making more than 100 or 200 grand is possible, it's very common. And so now you can't do a Coverdell unless you use the back door. You want to be in the party. You want to get this thing going for your kids, but you can't go in the front door. So we take you around to the back door. And what happens is you need to use a family member or even a friend. It's that loosey-goosey. But you can say to your brother, sister, or grandma, or grandpa and say, hey, I'm going to gift you $2,000. Would you open an account for my kids' Coverdell? Sure. Back door. Grandma gets to walk in the back door with your $2,000 and get an account set up for your child and start the Coverdell. Then you, as an authorized user on the Coverdell IRA, a directed IRA, you're going to call Jessica and go, I want to start investing this. All right. So you can help manage this money and invest it and get greater rates of return, making it a partner in your deals, and your grandma got you in the party. That's the back door. And it's better here in a minute, but that's the general concept. Matt, do you want to add to it?
Yeah. I mean, grandmas are the go-to place for getting into good parties. We all know that. We all know that.
Or at least buying a case of beer. You know, grandma, hook me up this weekend. Don't you tell your mom. Yeah.
Some of us had those cool grandmas. I did, actually. So,
actually, don't go buy beer. I got the distill in there. I've been distilling some Everclear in the back. One, how about some moonshine?
Yeah. So, anyways, you know, no, that's good, and that's so common. Some people even gift the money to their child and then have the child contribute it for themselves. Okay. Yeah. Into the account, the grandma, aunt or uncle, you know, those are easier. Even adult sibling could be one I've seen people do. Give the money to one of your older kids who then puts it in for their sibling, you know. So lots of options there.
Oh, now hold it, Matt, everybody. Yeah. Many of you didn't even catch the impact of what Matt just said. He said it so quickly. Let me put that in slow motion here. Matt said, your kid, your child, can even put money in their own Coverdell because their income is below the limit. What? I want to set up a Coverdell for my kid. If your child is over 12 years old or 10 years old and they're working in the business, listen, why don't you pay your child for helping in the business, get a tax deduction, and have that money you paid the child go into the Coverdale that the child funds for themselves? Now you just got a tax write-off for money, putting money into a Coverdale that grows tax-free and comes out tax-free. Pen drop. There you go. Yeah. Now, so if any of you are like, what did he just say? Set up a consult, talk to the team. Their tax attorneys can walk you through it, and it can be a very affordable phone call where you can set up these accounts directly with Directed IRA every year in perpetuity.
Yep. And right now you can be putting in $2,000 for 2019 and $2,000 in for 2020. So you'd be throwing $4,000 in up until July 15th. So,
yeah.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Ready for my legal tip?
Yep. You got it.
All right. Okay. Let's hit the legal tip.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right. I want to hit a legal tip about moving your company. I've had a lot more questions about this. I don't know what's happening, but I think with COVID, a lot of people are relocating or moving their businesses or thinking about, I don't know, but I've been helping a lot of clients with two things, and I want to outline your options here: domestication and foreign registration. So if you're doing business in one state, and let's say you're in the state of Arizona, where I am, and you're like, you know what, I'm going to leave Arizona. I'm going to go to Oregon. Okay. All right. Well, you have a couple options. I'm going to relocate in Oregon. I'm going to live and work in Oregon. I'm moving states. And I've got my Arizona LLC or my Arizona S Corporation. Well, your first option is just register that same Arizona entity into Oregon. Just, it's the same entity, the same name, the same tax ID. We're just going to register it into the new state where I'm going to start doing business. And if I was still going to be doing business in Arizona and Oregon, or let's say I is rental properties I had in Arizona, but now I'm buying rentals in Oregon, I'm going to register that LLC into Oregon. That's your first option. It's called a foreign registration. And you need to do that to qualify to do business in the new state you're going into. It's still an Arizona entity. It's just registered to do business in multiple states now. Now, the other option is, let's say you're like, I'm moving. I'm not going to own anything in Arizona anymore. I'm not doing business in Arizona anymore. I'm just going to conduct business in Oregon moving forward. And for many of you that are like going from California in particular, you're usually like cutting ties entirely. And it's actually usually people moving from California to Arizona that I've been consulting lately. But, you know, it's the same concept here. Going one state to another. If you're not going to still do business in the prior state, then you can just do what's called, in many instances, a domestication. That's when you move an existing company that's qualified to do business in one state and registered at a state into another state. And the old entity back, let's say in Arizona, no longer exists. So I could domesticate my Arizona company into Oregon. And now I'm just an Oregon entity. Mark's on video. He's killing me here. He's like, he's dying with my tip. This is going to be great on YouTube.
Well,
he's dying over there.
I don't think we're going to put this one on YouTube. I'm like so stressed right now. I'm like, I've got an IV set up with Diet Mountain Dew and anything I can. And I'm just like sitting here. I love your tip, Matt. I feel bad. Yeah. I sent Matt some bad vibes. I was just like,
I just want the video, you know, for the YouTube audience. Yeah. I wanted them to, you know, see some, maybe some oohs and ahs from you or something. Oh.
Ooh, ah, yeah. No, I'm just so wasted. And I love, I'm happy to be on the show today. I was just like thinking of the 90 things I need to do before 5 o'clock today. And I'm like, why can't I have three of me?
It would be nice. It would be nice. They broke the mold when they made Mark Kohler, though. There's only room in the world for one. We can't do another one.
And they didn't break the mold on accident. They're like, all right. Throw that thing on the ground. Hell no.
This is a limited edition. Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm going to take Matt's tip to the hoop with one example, and Matt's tip's great. I actually had a phone call from a client yesterday, and it was an appointment that we had scheduled a client that I've worked with for years. They've got a pretty big operation in Phoenix, Arizona. And they said, we're going to California. And they said, should we domesticate, as Matt Sorensen was just explaining, or should we set up a separate entity in California? And I said, well, what's the goal? In their mind, they said, well, we want to save taxes. And number two, we want protection from any crap that could happen in California. I said, okay, those are admirable goals. But let me just, and you have two options. You could set up a subsidiary in California, or you could domesticate in California. And I said, which one do you think is going to be cheaper, easier? Cheaper and easier. They go, domesticate. That's right. Very simple and easy. And you still have to pay taxes on the income you earn in California. There's a tax allocation method. And if we set up a subsidiary, will we save? Nope. Setting up a subsidiary or domesticating is really not a tax issue. They're going to tax you based on your income in that other state, no matter what. You just have to allocate it. It's called apportionment. But for asset protection, Matt's onto something here, because a lot of people are like, ooh, I want that separate entity. Well, when they do the separate entity, that's just not a, in the drawer, one sheet of paper. You're going to have separate payroll for those employees there, separate insurance policies, separate workers' comp, separate banking. And all of a sudden, you got to remember, you're running a separate entity altogether, and there's no commingling between the parent and the child. And if you commingle at all, game over. You might as well have freaking done a domestication. And they're like, wow, that's a lot of work. And I said, well, with the benefits of that asset protection comes a cost. And they decided at the end of the phone call, we're just going to domesticate for now. I said, that works. And they made an informed decision. And if I would have been a trashy jerk lawyer, as there are many out there, they would have said, ooh, the chance of a lawsuit is just insurmountable. Let's set up a separate entity and do this. And they would have just raped the client for some additional fees and talked them into it with fear tactics. We don't operate that way. We're going to let you make the decision on issues like this and tell you what the risks and rewards and the costs are. And anyway, they were very happy, and it was refreshing for them to not be sold something with fear. And so Matt's onto it. These are important decisions, and you just want to go in with your eyes wide open.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, that wraps up the legal tips and tax tips. So let's get into the main course of the topic today. And that is how the 2020 retirement account rules can be used to your benefit. So let me hit a couple of like the easy ones, just get out of the way to make sure you know about for 2020. And then let's get into a couple that are more strategy based that I think are interesting. So the first one, and throw out any you want, Mark, but just the first one I think is really important for everyone to know is there's no RMD required in 2020. So for those of you that inherited an IRA or that are over 72 and have a traditional account where you have to take required minimum distributions, those are totally waived for 2020. Nobody has to take them. The rules totally changed. By the way, the age is 72 now. That was changed last year from 70 and a half up to 72. So that's 72 moving forward. But nobody's doing RMD for 2020 unless you want to. It's just not required.
Okay.
So that's nice.
All right. Now, the next little thing, we've said it already on the show, is you have extra time to contribute.
Yeah.
And that runs out in about 10 days or less. So July 15th, you could contribute to a health savings account, contribute to an IRA, contribute to an IRA and do the backdoor Roth, contribute to a Coverdell, do the backdoor Coverdell. All of those.
Do a regular Roth IRA.
Do a regular Roth IRA. All
the SEP IRA.
Well, the SEP you could do after July 15th, depending on
where you're filing. Yeah. Now, unless you're filing your return on July 15th, because that's your personal deadline, maybe your Schedule C or something. And that's going to be my article, by the way. I've got an article going up on Entrepreneur on some of these strategies too and deadlines. But the SEP, I was just helping a client the other day just who had 19, had pretty good income, couldn't do a solo K. We're doing a SEP IRA, and that's a great strategy. So, so we have the deadline. That's a good one. Here's the big one that I like the most.
Okay.
The 100,000 distribution, the penalty-free 100,000 distribution, I should say. So this is under the CARES Act. It's kind of been termed the COVID-19 distribution for 2020. This is where you can take $100,000 from an IRA or 401k, and you get to take that money out without incurring the 10% early withdrawal penalty. Now, usually when you pull money out before you're 59 and a half out of an IRA or 401k, you're going to pay 10% penalty to get the money out. If I took 100 grand, I'm going to pay a 10,000 penalty just to get it. So I'm going to only get 90 out of the thing net. Then I got to pay tax on the 100 grand. Well, the cool thing about the 100,000 distribution is, the first thing is the penalty's waived if you've been financially affected. Now, the definition on financially affected, one of the rules you can say you're financially affected is if you've been subject to quarantine in your state. Every state's pretty much had a stay-at-home or shelter-in-place order in 2020. There's a laundry list of items there, but what I've found, most people I talk to, you're going to qualify for it. And so we're finding most people qualify for it, mostly because of, frankly, the shelter-in-place or stay-at-home orders that almost every state has had. So it's easy to qualify. Now, the max you can take is up to 100 grand. And the next cool thing about it is you get 3 years to pay the taxes. So usually if I take a distribution of 100 grand, I'm going to have to pay 100,000 in taxes, put that on my 2020 tax return, because that's when I received the 100 grand. But what the IRS is letting you do is, and what happened in the CARES Act, is you get to take one third in 2020, one third in 2021, and one third in 2022. So you get to pay the tax over 3 years. So I'm going to pay 33,000, you know, and take that into income in 2020, 33,000 in 2021, and then 34,000 in 2022. So that was cool.
Yeah.
The burden was eased.
Yeah. And I like that strategy. And what it really lends itself to is a strategy that we call sometimes chunking, where if you can do Roth conversions and spread out a certain amount of money that you want to get into a Roth, but you don't want to have too high of an income when you chunk some of it over. Well, this is the same concept. If you're going to spread this income out over 3 years, you get to arbitrarily choose what year gets how much money. So you might want to just claim a certain amount to stay under a certain tax bracket. Because sometimes you're right on the verge of another tax bracket, and it could be 10% more per dollar over a certain amount. And I've shot a video on this on YouTube about conversions and timing and the sweet spot and all that. And yeah. I think that is a good one to think about is, well, how much do I claim over these 3 years? And yeah.
Amounts. Yeah. Here, when you're doing the Roth conversion, of course, you'll be picking each year. Under this one, you have to take it in equal amounts over the 3 years.
Okay.
But here's the cool part. Here's why I love this one and why I've seen some smart people do with it. You can put the money back in. IRS also said, you know what, if you put the money back in within 3 years, you don't have to pay the taxes at all. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Now, some of the questions people had is, well, Matt, what if I took it in 2020, but I put the money back in 2022, and I already paid one third of the taxes in 2020, and the next third I had to pay in 2021, but then I get it back in 2022. What do I do? The IRS says you go back and amend 2020 and 2021, and you'll get your taxes back that you paid if you later put the money in 2022, let's say. But right. What I've seen other clients do, frankly, let's say you have an employer 401k where you work and you can't self-direct. Your money's stuck. You want to get the money out. All right, take a COVID-19 distribution of 100 grand, assuming you qualify, which if you've been financially affected, who hasn't in this economy? Yeah. And you've been a shelter in place, you're going to qualify. You can get up to 100K total. Take the distribution, put it in a self-directed IRA in 2020. You never have to pay the tax. You don't have to put it back into the same account. It just has to be into another retirement account. So now you've been able to get the 100,000 out of your 401k where you're currently working, where many people are stuck. They got the crappy mutual fund options. And now you can get over to self-directing with that money. So we've seen a lot of people who've been trying to self-direct for years, but have their money tied up in a current employer 401k, use this as a way to get a little, at least 100,000 out maybe to move over to self-directing. So creative way to use the COVID-19 distribution.
I love it. Okay, next tip or strategy. that I think is pretty unique that this COVID situation has offered people. Let's say that you've got an employer that you've been contributing to a 401k for years, and you've wanted to self-direct. Maybe you're a fan of our show and you're like,
yeah,
I've been wanting to self-direct, but I can't because I'm currently employed and I've got this money stuck in this 401k. And you're like, well, I don't want to distribute it and have this 3-year rule and all that. I really just want to invest it and have more freedom. Well, during this situation, you may have been laid off for a time. Well, that allows you to do a rollout or a rollover, and there's different terms here. But if you've been terminated, maybe your business has been shut down, this may be a perfect time to roll that 401k money out to an IRA. Then when your employer brings it back, you get back into the 401k game. But it gave you a kind of a chance when you weren't on the merry-go-round to pull that money, put it in an IRA, then get back on the merry-go-round of the 401k where your control is much more limited.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great one. Okay, now I told you at the beginning of the show, 3 million people have already used this at Fidelity. That's just Fidelity's customers. That is a huge number of people who have taken advantage of this COVID-19 distribution already. And some of them just took a portion. Some of them took the full 100,000. That's some interesting data to see how people are using this. The other one, and by the way, the COVID-19 one, this one is good all the way till the end of the year. So you get all the way till December 31st to use this one. Okay. The next one is the $100,000 401k loan. Now, we've seen this used with solo K clients. Many of our solo K clients have used it. Generally, under the 401k rule, there's a rule if you have a 401k, and this could be you got a 401k at Dunder Mifflin, you know, employer, your whatever you work at, you got a 401k, a solo K for your own small business that you have with no employees. In any of those 401ks, you can have a loan option where you can loan yourself half the balance, not to exceed 50,000. So if I got a 200 grand 401k, I can loan myself 50 grand. If I got a 40,000 401k, I can loan myself 20,000, half the balance, not to exceed 50. Now, that rule has been relaxed and improved specifically for 2020. And this loan rule is one you always pay back over 5 years, but they changed it and said, you know what? You can take 100 grand in 2020. I think it's actually only up until the end of September, by the way. This isn't till year end with this rule. I believe it ends at the end of September. So you can take 100,000 max now, and it can be 100% of your account. It's not limited to 50%. So now if I've got 100,000 401k, I can take the whole 100,000 out as a loan. I have to pay it back still within 5 years, or it's a distribution, but I can use the money now to cover living expenses. Maybe I lost a job and I want to start a new business. I've helped clients in that scenario where we set up solo Ks and their new S corps for their new business, and they're funding that new operation as from a 401k loan to get them off the ground. You could use it even again, your current existing 401k employer. If you got the day job or you're working in corporate America or wherever you're at, you could do this strategy there. So that's the 100,000 loan. You can get more of the money because you can take 100% of it, not limited to 50,000 anymore.
Okay. I just feel, and I love it when Matt and I just sit here and kind of brainstorm, like, what would we want to tell a client if we were in a conference call of ideas when it comes to quote unquote retirement plans? And there's been these unique ones that have surfaced that have never been seen before.
Yeah.
Because of the COVID thing. And I know that was the goal of this show. But I just have to believe that with the PPP program that many of you may have received money for and tried to get your employees back on payroll, maybe even some family members back on payroll, you may have put some kids of yours on payroll. Don't forget that that money could now be used to contribute to a retirement account of your children. And whenever I bring up ideas of creating Roths for your kids, young or old, and then making those Roths partners in deals, that's just like revolutionary. People just, what? I can do that? Absolutely. And so payroll's been a funky thing this year. Some people have had to completely revamp what their payroll mix looks like. So I was talking to a landscaper that's like, it's all hands on deck. He goes, I had several employees that went and jumped on unemployment and I can't get them back. And they're just going to game the system. And he goes, I've had to, my wife's working with me now. I've got all the kids here on the, it's like the family farm's on fire and we got to get in here and work.
Yeah.
And so that opens opportunities.
Yep. Okay. Cool. All right. Last little tip I got is, this is for the older crowd. Okay. I just want to make sure I'm looking out for you guys. Okay. There used to be a rule that said when you hit 70 and a half, and now that's the old RMD rule. Now it's 72. You can no longer contribute to traditional retirement accounts. That rule has been removed. Okay. There's no age limit anymore in terms of making contributions. So for those that are older, that are, you're in your 70s now, and you've kind of thought, oh, you can't put more money in retirement accounts when you hit 70. Nope. That rule was removed too. That was part of the Secure Act, actually, at the end of last year. But this is the first year it went into effect, is in 2020. And we've got lots of clients in their 70s at Directed IRA. It's a smaller portion, but we've got many still self-directing. Some of them, you know, the Roth ones don't have to worry about RMD, but the traditional ones, you have to worry about your required minimum distributions. Got to make sure you have money on hand, not in 2020, but of course in future years. So that's the last tip, is those old 70 or older retirement accounts are back on your map if you want them. Still a good way to save. And with people living, you know, into their 90s and hundreds, you know, you've got a lot of life still ahead of you that you might well still want to build up your retirement account. It's crazy to think you could be using that account for another 30 years still, even when you're at 70. That's how long these accounts really go. We've got, I mean, I see some of the older clients that we have that have accounts, and it's just, it's kind of cool actually to see that the accounts lasted them this long and they still have it there, you know, in their 80s even.
Yeah. I've got one last strategy.
All right.
Some may say it's a little leap, but others may go, oh my gosh, that's ingenious. So you'd be the judge. There's been across the country, as I think all of you listening would, I think I'd have your agreement here, is that more and more people are thinking of their own mortality. If this COVID thing hit me, would I die? Would my parents die? Who's at risk in my family? People are thinking of death more than ever before. Do you know across the country, there's been a huge jump in applications for life insurance.
Yeah.
And also people are buying burial plots like never before, doing funeral planning. Funeral planning is off the chart right now because people are like, man, if this hit me, I've never thought about this. I better get some crap done. We've got, you know, millions of baby boomers that are in that at-risk group that are like, I better buckle down and get my estate plan. So we've got, our estate planning team is just buzzing. We're very, very busy getting wills and trust done for people and all that. Now, with that said, this week, I had another conference call. Actually, it was end of last week. So it would have been Thursday or Friday before the 4th of July weekend. I had a phone call with a client and we talked about the Roth IRA with the grandma, and making the children the beneficiaries of that Roth IRA. They were talking estate planning. How can we build up our Roth IRA? I said, hey, if grandma's in a high risk group and everybody's thinking a little bit more about estate planning and life insurance and all this, why don't we set up a Roth IRA for grandma and make you, the child, the beneficiary? So when grandma dies, you've got a Roth IRA with whatever amount of changes in it. You've got 10 years to take that out tax-free. And continue investing. They're insane. They're like the creme de la creme of all Roth IRAs, is an inherited Roth IRA. And he goes, well, how do we do that? I said, gift grandma $7,000. Grandma can set up a Roth IRA anytime she wants.
So pay her, she's got to have some earned income, but yeah.
Yeah. And so she could have some earned income and then turn around and fund the Roth IRA. Now, at the moment, Matt, I'm just going to say off the cuff, I don't want everybody to think I'm a genius, but at the moment, doesn't Medicare create the AGI that we need to fund a Roth?
I don't know.
Or Social Security?
Social Security, yeah. I mean, Medicare wouldn't, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
I'm going to ask my other partners in the accounting firm if we could get some clarity on that, because grandma or grandpa that's collecting Social Security or Medicare may say, oh, I can use, you know, if my children gift me some money, I can turn around and open a Roth, make them the beneficiary, and you just inherited a tax-free investment account that you can also make a partner in your deals. So anyway, maybe that's a reach, but many of you I know are thinking about estate planning. You're thinking about your health, your life insurance, and that brings into picture grandma, grandpa, mom and dad, and maybe it's time to have them set up some savings accounts that you're going to benefit from in the long run anyway. Why not?
Yeah.
Double down.
Yeah.
It's like saying, hey dad, I'll give you $10. We throw another chip on black over there for me.
Yeah.
It's my money. All right.
Yeah. Inheriting a Roth IRA, if you can inherit any asset from $100,000 house, $100,000 car, $100,000 with a brokerage account, $100,000 Roth IRA, every day I'd take the $100,000 Roth IRA. It's a tax-free account. You get to keep investing it for 10 years and all the money comes out tax-free. Pull it out whenever you want. There's no age limit now when you inherit those. You just take the money out whenever you want. So that's the gist of that strategy, is it's the coolest thing to inherit, really, I guess, is the Roth IRA.
They are just amazing. Well, right. Boy, we've wrung every drop of water out of that rag we could. I mean, this is,
we build by the hours, so we're pretty good at, you know, making this stuff really last as long as possible.
We've got an hour to spend. We'll fill it.
Yeah. So, but thanks everyone for tuning in, of course, to the podcast. And make sure you go into refreshyourwealth.com where you can learn more about the show, find prior shows. You can search the shows. We have hundreds of shows on topics and stuff that may be of interest to you. And it's a great way to just digest it and hopefully learn something about how to better live the American dream and build wealth for your future. We're here for, if you need us at any of our companies, Directed IRA, KKOS Lawyers, K&E CPAs, whether you need a self-directed IRA custodian, a lawyer, an accountant, we're here to be a resource for you as well. And please check out all of our educational materials on our site. Thanks. See you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.